This episode of Push Your Freakaway is brought to you by DoorDash. That's right, DoorDash. I love DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and your incoming emails, you've got plenty to take care of. Don't lie to yourself. Give yourself at least one last thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You want pizza, they want tacos, someone's craving froyo. There's something for everyone at DoorDash. It's super simple. Just go to the DoorDash app. It brings food to your door that you're craving right now. That's it. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with our new, like I'm part of DoorDash, new contactless delivery door drop-off setting. DoorDash is great. I use it all the time. We order in on Friday nights. We're like make a date night out of it. We like pick something on DoorDash, like something we would never usually eat. Order to the house, chow down with DoorDash. So what you have to do to use DoorDash, super simple. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees for their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BSB. That's $5 off your $0 delivery fees. It's a free delivery and your first order. And when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BSB, you get $5 off your first order of $50 or more with DoorDash. Code BSB, don't forget. Hey, BSB, some number. A little bit of a change of plans. We were having, we had some other reporters planned for tonight, but instead, we have the illustrious Drew Way of Bleacher's Breakaway, prospect expert, prospect guru. And with the draft coming up and with so many prospects in question right now, who better to have on? Drew, how are you doing? And say hello.
I enjoy how you're able to make it sound like it's a good thing that you have me on right now. And
it's
not
a great,
that the,
it's a great
the
thing.
Name brand writer that was supposed to come on, but then some big hockey news happened to distract him from being able to come on. So, but no, I'm happy to be on and great to talk to you guys as always.
Always a great time. Gregory, how are you tonight?
Oh, we'll see. It's still my bets are still very early on, so we'll know by the end of this podcast if things are going better or worse.
We will figure that out. All right, let's get into the nitty gritty of things. There is some prospect news, strange here or there, and I'm sure we'll get into the draft. And we still have so many questions about what's going to happen there, Drew. Have you been paying attention at all to this Vitaly Kravtsov sort of what I guess we call maybe a resurgence? People tweeting he's got the third most shots in the league. People saying, you know, 3 goals in 5 games. Have you gotten a chance to take any look at Vitaly Kravtsov over the past couple of weeks?
Well, this is embarrassing. I thought you were bringing me on to talk about Nikola Jokic and the fact that he came back and that Denver is going to be playing the Lakers now in the finals.
I mean, sorry, Kawhi, not a robot. Doesn't have the clutch gene, turns out. Didn't have it turned on.
Yeah, no. But yeah, turns out Vitaly Kravtsov, not bad at hockey. Who would have ever guessed that you can't write somebody off that quickly?
It's strange. You know, I think we'll get to Elias Anderson in a little bit, but I think he put in like some interview he had recently. He's like, people forget I'm 21 years old. Like, I was like, oh yeah, Elias is 21 years old. I'm 10 years his senior, and I'm expecting him to be some sort of magnificent development story just yet. But Vitaly Kravtsov seems to be taking the reins so far back in the KHL. Maybe it's the comfort, maybe it's that. But have you seen anything different in his game, even if it's just Twitter highlights and you're making it up and to appease me?
I'm not making it up to appease you, but yeah, I mean, he looks comfortable again. There's no secret now that when he came over, he placed some unrealistic expectations upon himself, and when those weren't met, he kind of got down about it. And you know what? If you want to criticize him for the way he reacted, you do you. I look back into how I was when I was 18 or 19, and I am in no fucking place to criticize someone for reacting poorly when things don't go their way. But yeah, he looks comfortable again, and he looks confident again. And I think like the biggest thing you notice when you're watching him play, whether it was for the Rangers in preseason or Hartford in the AHL, is he didn't look confident. And Kravtsov's got the type of game where he drives play, he pushes the pace. He is, you know, I don't want to say he's got a fancy game, but he's got all the skill in the world. And when his confidence is riding high, he's playing great. And he's confident again, and he's comfortable again. And he's looking like the players that the Rangers drafted in the top 10 just 2 years ago.
Drew, I'm pretty sure I know the answer here, but I will just ask the question for the sake of being able to ask the question.
Shoot.
With the fact it's a not zero possibility that the NHL season doesn't start until New Year's Day. It's hard to believe the NHL season starting before Christmas at this point. The KHL season usually ends sometime mid-March. Would it make any sense for the Rangers to bring Kravtsov back early? Shouldn't they just let him play the entire season in Russia at this point?
I mean, if it doesn't make sense. I would say it could make sense if Kravtsov really wanted to come back, and he, you know, if he's the one pushing that, hey guys, like the NHL season's back up, I'd love to come back and contribute. And if that means, you know, whatever the role is, cool, but I want to come back and be ingratiated with the team and the culture. If he's the one saying he wants to come back, then sure, bring him back. But just from, you know, in a vacuum, I'm with you and where it sounds like you're going with this question. Like, let the kid cook over there. He's doing great. He's comfortable. He's building his confidence. I'd let him keep going unless, you know, he specifically is like, I want to come back once the NHL gets started, regardless of the role I'm in.
Yeah, I think that's the right play. Mostly because it's all about development, right? I guess to follow up on Greg's question here, just an overarching question about the New York Rangers. You don't think this year's what they would consider a year that you're looking to compete? Like, you're always trying to win the Stanley Cup. I don't think they're going to try not to win it. Well, maybe you're not always trying to win the Stanley Cup, looking at your Detroit and other teams. But yeah. It seems like this year they're going to try and win the Cup, but they won't be, you know, what they consider contenders. And that makes the case for Kravtsov staying over there even more.
Well, not to cut Drew off here, but I've heard you say this enough on the podcast, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I do think you're mischaracterizing a little bit.
Go for it.
It has nothing to do with whether the Rangers think they're ready to compete or not. It just simply has to do with the fact that the Rangers don't have enough winger spots right now for Kravtsov. Not in their top nine. Even if Fast comes back, forget about it. But even if Fast doesn't come back, with Lafreniere coming in, Gauthier needing a bigger role, Kako second year, plus, you know, the mainstays of Panarin, Buchnevich, and Kreider. Like, it's not about the Rangers trying to be competitive. It's the natural fact that if Kravtsov comes back, he needs a top nine role. And as currently constructed, the Rangers don't have a top nine role for him.
That's very fair.
Yeah, and that's true. I would say this. I wouldn't worry about, like, I like Gauthier a lot, but, like, I wouldn't, you know, kill myself trying to make sure he gets a top nine role if it's at the sacrifice of not giving Kravtsov a top nine role if he really wants to come back. But, you know, that said, I would say, Ryan, to your original question, though, like, my view on the Rangers this year is they'll be that bubble playoff team that when you're listening to the talking heads talk about them, they'd be like, boy, if the Rangers squeak in, you really don't want to play them in that 2-7 or 1-8 matchup. You know what I mean?
That was, like, a good impression, by the way. Kudos.
Right, but, you know, they'll be that fun, exciting team that can rack up goals, and that, you know, if their goalie gets hot and, you know, Zibanejad and Panarin and Kako get hot and all these fucking things go right at the same time, then they could make some noise. But I don't see them as, like, a legitimate contender. You know, I guess a good way to look at them would be sort of how teams were talking about, you know, Carolina a couple of years ago before they finally cracked into the playoffs, where everyone was like, hey, you know, on paper, these guys are fun and they could do something and they're young and exciting and people wouldn't want to face them, but they got a lot to do to actually get there.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of steps to take. Something I keep thinking about with Kravtsov is if he does develop in this, the way that we're hoping all as Ranger fans, do you think that lessens the chances? Like, Greg, this goes right to your point too. We have too many wingers right now, and Buchnevich, you know, his contract is up rather soon. Do you think that they were hoping Kravtsov maybe could take his spot?
Perhaps. I mean, Jeff Gorton seems like someone to this point who, I mean, obviously he has a little bit of loyalty in the fact that, you know, Mark Stahl, for example, still has a role on this team.
Chris Kreider.
He's also shown in the fact, right, no, but Kreider, you can legitimately make the argument he's still a very good player.
Of course.
But, like, you know, he's traded Zuccarello. He's made a number of deals where it's clear he's not, you know, who's the GM that, like, Lombardi from the Kings. It's clear he's not like Lombardi, where he's like, I'm just going to resign all my guys because I'm a loyal guy and this and that. I mean, Gorton is willing to make moves if he feels like it's going to better his team. And so with that as the, you know, the basis to it, I can see him moving Buchnevich if he feels like he's getting a significant piece back to help the team now and in the future. And yeah, maybe if Kravtsov's doing really well over there this year, that might make that a little bit easier. But I don't think they're necessarily inherently connected. I think it's, you know, he'll see how the team's doing. His, you know, maybe how the prospects are developing plays a role in it, but I think it's a little bit, you know, it's not quite as clear cut as that, I guess I would say. There's a lot of moving pieces that could play into it, I guess, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed Jonas Brodin is now off the market. Really grinds my gears, let me tell you.
I spent a lot of time on Jonas Brodin. Obviously I listen to, for the most part, every podcast you guys do, but especially when you have the twins on, and I heard you be like, oh yeah, he's probably gonna get like $6 or $7 million. And they're like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's only like $5 million. And you were right. So he got that going for you.
Yeah. I was going to ask Greg, like, what did you think about the contract?
I always find it interesting. And that's kind of why I asked the twins, because Jonas, there's nothing wrong with paying Jonas Brodin $6 to $7 million. It's what he's worth. He's one of the best defensively minded defensemen in the NHL. The guy is a literal black hole. It's almost impossible to score against him. But I've always found it interesting that the only way you get paid in the National Hockey League is if you put up points. And that's just not Brodin's game. And it's not a bad thing that it's not Brodin's game. Like, the Minnesota Wild are a better team because Jonas Brodin plays a significant role for their team. He could score 0 points, and that wouldn't impact what he does defensively for them. It just, when they said that he might go for somewhere in the $5 million range, it frustrated me to a point where, like, what more would you want Jonas Brodin to do?
Well, it seems like the Wild are on your side with that, given the contract that you just gave them. So
it does seem that way.
Did you see the Wild trade today, Drew? Before we go back in the Ranger prospect?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, good for the Wild. Good for the Sabres. I mean, I don't know what the fuck the Wild are thinking with that one.
Are you on the other side of that, Greg?
Well, I saw the thing is, I kind of like Johansson. I think a big part of it is the guy just can't stay healthy. So you're making – it's a bet that Johansson's going to stay healthy. But then I also saw the report that Bill Guerin has plans to play him at center, and he just isn't a center. So it's – the more you read into it, at first brush, I honestly thought it was a fine trade. I think if you look at Stahl's numbers this year, you can tell that there is a downward trend going on with him. He's going to be 36 years old next year. The argument for Stahl is he's on 1 year left, and at $3.2 million, it's very affordable for someone that can play middle six.
Both of them have 1 year left, and Eric Stahl is an undoubtedly better player right now.
Right. It's you only should make that trade if you truly believe that you have two centers that are better than Eric Stahl. And I think it's very clear that the Minnesota Wild at this juncture don't. Now, the report did come out that it sounds like the Wild have something else cooking, something else possibly bigger.
All right, but we'll wait for the second shoe to drop, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. In a vacuum, I don't think you should slam a team for trading. Like, there is a team that could trade that kind of center for that kind of middle six winger that has some upside but can't stay healthy. It's just when you look at it from a Minnesota Wild perspective, you fairly have to ask some significant questions, which, again, another reason why I wanted to trade with Bill Guerin. Sometimes the new guys don't really know what they're doing, but he went and signed Jonas Brodin, so I am once again upset.
One thing I will call back to from that podcast was I did say to one of the twins, and definitely not the one who hates us, by the way, that when we were going to see a contract given out for just defensive prowess. And, you know, they said in the past, or rather one of them said, that's not really been the case, but this was the case with Brodin, and maybe he is the new trendsetter for maybe that people are starting to pick up on analytics that they are providing and paying accordingly.
Well, I don't know about that, because Joel Edmonds is
definitely analytics. Yeah, okay.
$4 million contract today too.
What it comes down to is this: it's teams, especially like old school NHL guys, they value defensive defensemen. I mean, if you just look at the way Bob McKenzie's rankings have played out for the 2020 draft here, like, there are a lot of defensemen who aren't very good, but because they're big and fucking play defense, allegedly, they're being projected to go in the first round now. NHL teams still value that crap. They're just bad at evaluating it.
The McElrath syndrome?
They think that they think if you're big and you hit people, it means you're good at defense. Like, no, that's not the case in the least.
A quick shot at Jacob Trouba?
Yeah.
Me?
Well, I think the exact quote I saw from someone on TSN who was defending the Edmondson signing by the Canadians today, They only listed two attributes, and it was that he's got size and a winning attitude, and that's why it's a good deal for Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, and it's the typical bullshit. I'll pivot again to the 2020 draft here. Like, there's this kid Tyler Cleven, who he's a defenseman on the U.S. team, and there was a big argument on Twitter the other day amongst us prospect nerds about a couple people saying, "Oh, scouts say he should go in the first round." Literally, the only good things you can say about this player is that he's big, and because he's been on good teams, you can say he's got a winning attitude or he's tough. But he's just not good, and it just astounds me how often this happens, where you get these talking heads that are like, "Oh, another one is this kid Caden Gool, who's he's a 6'3", close to 200-pound WHL defenseman, and Bob McKenzie's got him at 14, and it's well, he skates well for a big guy. It's yeah, that's literally all he does. So I have him ranked in the 60s, I think.
Yeah, we had Corey on Monday, and I was surprised how in depth he was about certain skills with certain players, like hockey sense and skating and such like that. But he was explaining some players have really just one aspect, and that's just not enough to be in the NHL. And I agree with him. You can have tremendous skating, but they're really, if you don't have any of the skill, you don't matter in the league. Size and skating just isn't the name of the league anymore. It's speed and skill, really.
I know what you're saying, but you can quibble a bit about, you could say, okay, then why do you like Brett Haddon so much? But I digress.
Right.
Who?
Yeah, he's a man rocket.
I'm not going to get into.
I will go ahead and speak for Corey right now. He said it himself. The man rocket himself. He's really good at being personable and getting up, going to people and charming them, and that's exactly what happened with Corey. He called him Brett the entire time, okay? He never said Haddon. They're the first day basis.
Yeah, I'll say this, to Corey's credit too, he's a phenomenal content producer. I think he's second to none in terms of the way he does his draft coverage, in terms of how he gives the baseball grades and puts them in the tiers and clearly labels all the tiers. That stuff's all great. I disagree with some of his methodology, but hey, that's the fun of it. I think he made the comment on your podcast even that if we all agreed, this would be pointless. He wouldn't have a job if there was some set in stone way to do it.
It's a good point.
To pivot back to the New York Rangers, the team we allegedly cover when we're not talking about horse racing or the New York Mets. I'm just going to quickly shout out Steve Cohen again. I don't think he's a sponsor of this podcast, but Steve, if you want to sponsor this podcast,
contact the Athletic.
By all means.
Yeah.
Drew.
Let's hope that he doesn't get involved in another SEC scandal, though. And then
he can. If he wants to buy the Southeastern Conference and run football too, he can. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care. As long as he saves $5 billion of his $14 billion for the New York Mets, I don't care what he does with his life. He can do whatever he wants. He's fine by me.
Yeah.
But Drew, how seriously have you been looking at the Rangers' second first-round draft pick this year?
Oh, dude, it's all I've been doing the last few weeks.
What do you think the percentage chance is the New York Rangers actually draft at that spot?
50-50.
You think coin flip?
Yeah, and I can say that with not firsthand inside knowledge, but we all know a few people who know some people in the industry, and one of them recently was talking about how he's had discussions with some agents and stuff like that, and the Rangers are, they're open for business, but they are going in with the mentality of, we're making the selection unless a deal is brought to us that we can't say no to.
Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing Seth Jarvis as the person they're going to draft, but it does seem like more and more they're going to be trading the...
I'll say this. We can get. I'm happy to talk a little bit about that. Seth Jarvis is a really good prospect, but he's a winger, and I'm big on you draft the best position available. And I've spoken with you guys about this. I know Greg, you agree with that. But again, I also preach tiers, and there is a tier that I have Seth Jarvis on with a bunch of centers too, where I'm like, if they're all there, I'd have trouble, given the way the Rangers prospects stuff are, going Seth Jarvis over a kid like Maverick Bork, for example, who is a phenomenal center, he's arguably one of the best playmakers in the entire draft class outside of, the elite players. And I would you know, bet my next paycheck he will translate to be a center in the NHL. And he's the kid where, you know, like I said, I've spent a lot of time recently, well, in a little free time I actually have outside of how busy work's been, and looking into like, hey, who are these options that might be there around 22 for the Rangers? And Maverick Bork is the name I just keep coming back to, that like, man, if the Rangers can grab him, I'd be so happy.
That is a ridiculous hockey name. That is,
oh, it's great,
that
great,
is
great
high up there
name.
On the ridiculous hockey name Bork. Meter.
It's a good one. I mean, so
by Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick.
Yeah, the Maverick part of it is the part where I'm saying, what is this?
Not the Bork? Okay.
Well, no, because Bork's a traditional, it's like, I don't know, it's like a kid being named Orr, essentially. Like, I expect there to be 17,000 Orrs and Borks and those type of players in the hockey league. But a first name like Maverick, I can get behind that.
You
I
probably
can talk
have.
Myself into that nonsense.
I'll say this about Bork too. So like I said, he's a phenomenal playmaker. He's a little undersized, so you'll get like your typical grumpy people about him. He's like 5'10", like a buck 75 or something like that. But he's two-way player, super smart. He will get dirty on the boards and stuff. And like I said, he's just such a smart player and a phenomenal playmaker. Like he's also one of those guys where if you want to just go down a little bit of a YouTube rabbit hole, like he really pops on those like highlight videos as well. And he's a kid that like, you know, would get he's the prototypical type that would get severely overhyped by Rangers Twitter really quickly.
Speaking of overhyped by Rangers Twitter, just say it to me straight. Like Lundell, there's no chance, right?
I know. I mean, unless you're going to trade like pretty much your entire draft board to go up and get him, no chance. But for the record, I'd do that. I'm big on, you know, the Rangers have such a deep prospect pool right now. I would literally say pick 10 is up on the board, right? And Lundell's still there. I would trade the entire draft board. Obviously, we've already picked Lafreniere, so that's not in here. I'd trade the entire remainder of the draft board to trade up to 10 and get Lundell and walk away with Lundell and Lafreniere in this class.
Yeah, we call that the Met method because that's all Brody does. Brody makes three picks, and then he signs overage college seniors because he spent all his money.
I'm totally cool with doing that for Lundell. And on the flip side, though, I mean, if we're going to go by Bob McKenzie's rankings, which again, you know, he's actually talking to people who have decision-making power in the room. So his ranks tend to be a decent barometer of how the draft might actually go. I mean, he's got Jan Mysak, who I love. It, you know, I have him at 11. He's got him at around 30.
I love Mysak,
so I could,
too.
The Rangers realistic. The Rangers could quite possibly go do something like take you know Lafreniere at one, and then take Maverick Bork or Jan Mysak at 22, and then in round three there may be this kid Zion Nybeck there who I have at, you know, 15. When I publish my final rankings, I probably have him around 17, but Bob McKenzie has him in the 70s going in the third round.
That's crazy. That's so different than what everyone else has here, right? Like hockey boards,
most
like really
prospects,
like go around, right? Like they're pretty diverse, or rather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all over the place. It's like last year, you know, I kept preaching to you guys about Pavel Dorofeev, and Zion is similar to Dorofeev, and he's, you know, he's well, Zion's short. Dorofeev wasn't short, but he's super talented, but on the slight side, and plays, you know, overseas. So, you know, God forbid the Craig Buttons of the world, you know, take the time of day to actually get to know him better. But, you know, I have him in the mid first round, and he, according to Bob McKenzie, might not go to the third round. Dorofeev didn't go until the third round, and you know, Nybeck might very well be there as well. But there's a lot of talent in this class. And you know, like I said, I'm cool with just trading the board and come away with Lafreniere and Lundell and call it a day, especially because Lundell could legitimately be the Rangers' third line center next year. He's that good in that NHL ready. But there's a lot of talent to be had later in this draft as well.
So, okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about the Lieber Hayek breaking the possible Henrik Lundqvist retirement news. Okay, be right back. And this episode of Bushish Break was brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. It was sure nice seeing the teams back out there on the gridiron over the weekend, and luckily for us, that was only just week one. There's no better place to get in all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week two, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head over to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving it all new users a chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right, you could place $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you get a cool Benjamin. How could you pass it up? If you're new to DraftKings Sportsbook, head to the app now to scout their latest offers. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, a sportsbook that goes wherever you are. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code QUICK when you sign up. To get this can't-miss offer, pick any team during week two, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you get use promo code QUICK during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years or older, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. End.
Hey, this is Craig Custance with The Athletic. My family has, I would say, a healthy obsession with water and water bottles. And we all have our own personal, like, giant thing of water that we carry around. My daughter has a, you know, one of those daily planners, and it has check marks for how much water they're drinking. Because we know when you don't get enough water and you're dehydrated, you feel lethargic, you don't feel good. It makes a big difference in your day. And with Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. We're big fans of Liquid IV in our family. When you drink Liquid IV, you have more energetic workouts, you sleep better, but it's better for your immunity, which is super important right now. You just have more energy. So Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code ATHLETIC at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC. Hey, this is Craig Custance with The Athletic. Maybe you were blessed with a body that you can just pull clothes off the rack and they fit perfectly. But if you're anything like me, every shirt I buy, the arms are too long. Every pair of pants I buy, the legs are too long. I don't have the time or the money really to go and get everything I buy tailored perfectly. So I end up looking like a frumpy sports writer half the time, which isn't great. And I wish it wasn't the case. But the times when I do take the time to buy the things that fit right, you just feel better, right? You're confident. You walk into a room. You don't feel like you're wearing your dad's clothes because the sleeves are down over your hands. And that's what makes Indochino so great. Indochino suits are great for wedding and for work. And they offer a lot of casual options like shirts, coats, and chinos. And right now, honestly, like that's what I find myself most attracted to. Like I recently made a purchase there. Even if like 80% of the press conferences or whatever I'm doing in Zoom, you still want to look good. You still want to be professional. You still want things to fit and feel good about yourself. And the way it works is I booked some time with a virtual style consultation and took it step by step. And I was even able to personalize it. The dress shirt threw my initials on there, from the stitching to the collar to what kind of material you want on the inside flap. There's so many ways to personalize it. So with Indochino, you get custom fitted suits, coats, and casual wear at surprisingly affordable prices. And if you are getting married, Indochino is an absolute no-brainer for you and your groomsmen. Forget the off-the-rack suits that don't fit different body types. Indochino gives everybody a tailored fit. You order with ease, you get it shipped fast, no matter where you live. And with all the ways to customize, you can add a personal touch everyone will be proud to wear without emptying their pockets. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $299 with all customizations included. Visit one of Indochino's showrooms across North America or book a virtual appointment and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more when you enter the code Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code Craig, to get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more.
Listen, I think it's important to talk about this because I saw this on Reddit a few hours ago, but now I've been messaged it a couple of times. This is total a shift, by the way. Lieber Hayek said to some newspaper in his hometown today that after the Carolina game, Henrik Lundqvist pretty much said goodbye to everybody and that it was his last game and he didn't know if the Rangers would buy him out or let him play for another team. While Lieber probably should not have said this to the press.
Probably, yeah.
Without Henrik and you know, permission or something like that. Because obviously he'd like to make it that decision himself, or rather make that announcement himself, or the Rangers would like to make that announcement. This isn't a surprise, right? Like we all kind of saw something like this coming at this point.
I'll say this, and this is probably a bad analogy to use, but I don't care. It's the one that's popping to mind. it reminds me, I'm fortunate enough where my parents are still happily married, but this situation reminds me of listening to some friends in my teenage years talk about their parents' relationship, where it's clear as fucking day they're getting divorced, and everyone in the world knows they're getting divorced, but it still somehow comes as a surprise to the kid when the actual divorce comes down. And that's kind of how this feels too.
I can confirm. I can confirm.
It's completely logical for the Rangers and Lundqvist to part ways. And me as the kid in this situation, I don't want to admit it. I'm plugging my fingers in my ears, stomping my feet going, no, not going to happen. Not going to happen. It's when you think of it just with your brain, that is most likely what's going to happen. And it sucks.
Yeah. I'm still shocked they're going to buy him out. I know that's the option, right? Have to do.
I'll say this. I think it's asinine to buy him out with the flat cap and all that. Hang on to him for one more year. Again, we went back to before. Next year isn't that big of a deal. We're seriously going to buy him out and have to carry that cap hit for, half that cap hit for another year in a flat cap environment because we desperately want next year to go better, or we desperately want Georgiev, who's an extremely overrated goalie, to be better. I don't get the purpose of buying him out.
Well, I will say this, and I do think the idea that the Rangers, I get it. It would be an empty $1.5 million on their ledger next year that they could simply just not next by next year. I mean, 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's easily avoidable by just not buying out Henrik Lundqvist and just dealing with it for an extra year. I think the part that I don't know gets enough focus is really just it's always been the Georgiev part of this that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Igor is going to be the guy. There's going to be no pretending that this will ever be some kind of 50-50 split between Igor and Georgiev. So I don't care how highly – well, not just that, but it almost doesn't matter how highly the Rangers value Georgiev. He will never be as important as Igor. He'll never be the one. So I don't understand why the Rangers – a team, by the way, historically, during the Henrik Lundqvist years, have just churned out quality backup goalies at a rate that you would think is unsustainable, but they've done it to a point now where it is sustainable. Why do you care who backs up Igor?
It's you see it with Mitch Korn and you see it with Benoit Allaire. When you have really, really good goalie coaches, you can accomplish this. The actual case for buying out Lundqvist is because it's what Lundqvist would want. And you want to do right by him. That's the legitimate case for buying him out, is you think it's the right thing to do for him, to allow him to walk and get whatever contract he wants with whatever team, and you're still giving him some money. But I think it's asinine to think that the reason for buying him out is Alexander Georgiev, who is at best a good backup goalie. I get it. He flashed really nicely in a few games, but you look at any backup goalie, they all do that. He's not... People act like just because the Rangers floated that they wanted a first-round pick for him doesn't mean he was ever actually worth that to begin with.
No, yeah. I mean, we've heard rumors that it was as high as a second. Jeff Gordon was like, no, I need a lot more than that from the Leafs. And I still feels weird that they might not shop him. But if that's what Henrik wants to go and to get bought out, more power to him. I think they should do it to treat him right. Because, Greg, you said, right. It's Igor's show. It definitely is. But, I don't think if Igor busts, I don't think, Georgiev is the overall solution in the future, right? I don't think, Igor busted, so Georgiev can take us to the promised land. He's a good goalie. I'm not sure. I'm not good. Mike's on my roof. Sorry about that.
I'll say this. While whatever the hell that was going on.
Sorry.
Georgiev, I'm being hyperbolic a bit. Mm-hmm. Not bad. He's fine. But my point is, get out of here with thinking he's good enough to warrant all these conversations we're having about him. He's not. He's not worth this much bandwidth on Rangers Twitter, Rangers podcasts, and all like that. He's a good backup goalie, and he's probably not going to be much more than that at any point in his career.
I wonder what team would, there will be a team who will sign Henrik Lundqvist. Let's not beat around the bush here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But mm-hmm. I wonder what team would have him as a starter. And it had to be someone that was competing, right? It's not going to play for the Red Wings.
It'd be a 1A. I don't think any team would sign him to be the outright starter. A team would sign him to be like the 1A, 1B type scenario, because there are a lot of teams that have proven, like look at the Bruins and the Islanders, that have proven that, you know, you can use a goalie tandem effectively and really, you know, get good results out of that.
I wonder if that's what the Rangers are trying to do with Georgiev and Igor moving forward. Like, hey, we have a tandem playing the hot hand.
It's not a tandem, though, because Georgiev isn't nearly as good as Shesterkin.
Yeah, it's not even close, right? Like,
it wasn't a tandem when Igor was healthy with the Rangers. Igor was exactly. still starting 70% of the games when it was the two of them.
Yeah. Ugh. It's such a weird situation. It was posted like 5 hours on Reddit ago, and I'm assuming like all of a sudden it just started picked up. So I guess it's a real thing now. But I don't know why Libor would say that.
It's not even a real thing. What did Libor say that we didn't already know?
I guess
the only thing Libor could have said that we didn't already know is that Henrik was planning to retire, but he didn't even say that.
No, he just said,
goodbye to the guys.
Would say that's what makes it a little bit more real, I guess, is it's we've all known this is likely, but it's probably different hearing. Oh, and Lundqvist acknowledged it all by saying goodbye. That's probably the news piece, but to your point, it still doesn't change the fact that we knew this was the most likely outcome the whole time.
Yeah, just strange. It's a weird end for Henrik Lundqvist, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about this in the future. And any other questions we want to talk prospect wise with Drew? We didn't really touch on Elias Anderson or anybody else today. I don't know if we need to talk about Elias. Like, I don't know if he's
anyone else talking about Elias.
I'm still very retired from talking about Elias. Until he shows up in a Ranger uniform, I don't think any of us need to spend any more time talking about it. What more do you want to hear?
I don't know if he's ever coming back. That's the thing.
I'm just going to make sarcastic comments about how he's actually good, and everyone who's already shit on him and wrote him off is being silly, so no need to talk about it more.
All right. I mean, Corey likes him, so we'll see. I guess that's it for prospect-wise.
Good. That means he'll be the next Brett Howden then, right?
Yeah. Brett gets a bad rap. He's a man rocket. He can get it.
I was higher than anyone on Brett for years. So, I mean, I want to like Brett, but it's...
I hope Brett comes out and fucking rips it up this year. I hope he's like a 25-goal scorer. He mans third-line center, just destroys.
I'll say this. I think Brett Howden is a good example of why there's a certain segment of the population that just says, just play your kids no matter what. Just throw them out there and let them get experience. I think Brett Howden is a good cautionary tale of why that's not always the best case scenario.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Gregory, anything else before we wrap this up?
No.
Okay, Drew. Okay, thank you enough for coming on. always
no,
appreciate
happy
it.
To come on, guys. Thank you.
Of course. We'll talk to you soon. Drew's _ way. And that's it. We'll be back next week. You can follow me at Orion Mead. I won't be on Twitter break till the 28th. And Greg at Blue Shirts Break. And we'll be back Monday night. Tuesday morning. There you go. All right. Love you guys. Bye.